from Cambridge 105. This is Election 2015.
So I'm joined by the UKIP parliamentary candidate for Cambridge, Patrick O'Flynn. How do you think proceedings have been going so far?
Nationwide, I think it's a very exciting night for UKIP. I think that we'll have got well into double figures as a share of the vote, 4 million plus votes compared to 900,000 at the last general election, so a massive breakthrough. I think we will have got perhaps 100 second places by the end of the night, and at the last general election, we didn't get a single second place. So that will give us huge amount of data for the 2020 general election, which has always been what's in focus. But I guess the third of our ambitions was to break through and win a cluster of our or a handful of our target seats. Now, whether we'll quite have done that, it's going to be very fine margins. I'm very confident of Douglas Carswell successfully defending Clacton. But, you know, Rochester and Strood, Thanet South, where Nigel is standing, Thurrock, you know, Yarmouth, Great Grimsby, Boston and Skegness, these seats are all going to be decided on fine margins. And it does look like the Tory vote has hardened up in the last 48 hours of the campaign, perhaps as people contemplate Ed Miliband as Prime Minister, and maybe there has been that very late swing that might make in most of those seats the job of actually getting over the line for us coming from a long way back under first past the post more difficult. So that's the one kind of potential bitter pill among the kind of huge successes of the night.
So you're saying it's a protest vote then for UKIP?
No, not at all. I think people identify with our manifesto. There's now a very solid, at least 10 to 15% of the electorate that doesn't want to spend more on foreign aid, wants to spend less and redirect the resources at home, that wants to leave the EU, that wants to have an Australian style point system for immigration, that wants to take back our human rights regime so our own Supreme Court lives up to its name and isn't a junior court to Strasbourg, that understands the wage compression that's happened in blue-collar jobs because of unlimited EU migration. I think on a whole load of important policy areas, we've connected with a big chunk of the electorate in a positive way, and it's not just a protest vote.
So if the Conservatives do end up getting a, not necessarily a majority to actually form a government, but get to that sort of stage, would UKIP get into bed with them?
No, we've said we're not interested in being in coalition, but we have our obvious priorities that we would like to see whoever's the government put into practice, and the most important of those and our kind of red line for kind of not aggressively seeking to bring down a minority government would be a full, free, fair and early referendum on EU membership. Another thing that's very important to us, but I wouldn't quite call it a red line, is to raise the share of defence spending to meet the NATO minimum requirement of 2% of GDP.
OK, and locally, how do you think you're going to fare this evening?
Well, I think across the county it'll be good. It'll be big rises in our share of the vote. I think I'll achieve the same thing here. But I guess Cambridge is seen as a kind of a place that UKIP hasn't really cracked before. And even in our very successful European elections last year, looking at the data, we came fifth in Cambridge behind the Greens, the Tories, the Liberals and Labour. And I think we had 12% of the vote. So Cambridge is a bit demographically different. And that makes it, you know, it's nothing like a target seat for us. But I hope, as a born and bred Cambridge person who also went to university here, to have offered some of the more overlooked side of the city a political agenda they can connect with, particularly on the shortage of housing for people on ordinary working class wages.
And with regards to UKIP, people often say it's a one-man show with Nigel Farage. What would you say to those people?
I think we're building, or he's building, quite a successful team now, and he's brought in people like, obviously, Suzanne Evans has flourished, who was in charge of the manifesto. I've been economic spokesman and campaign director. We have Diane James, a regular appearer on broadcast and Question Time. Paul Nuttall, the deputy leader. Stephen Wolfe, migration spokesman. I think none of us remotely rival Nigel for profile, fame, you know, charisma, whatever you want to call it. But we are building a team. And I think there's been significant progress in the last 5 years, maybe particularly in the last 18 months. And that augurs well for the future, too.
Patrick O'Flynn, thank you very much.
Thank you.